Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Bears, 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 football, football, football.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
With Roquan Smith officially out for the rest of the season with a torn pectoral muscle, how would you evaluate his season? Did he meet or exceed expectations? And how much will his absence diminish the Bears' defense?
Well, I think they're going to miss him for sure. And I do believe that as you evaluate the entirety of his season, he came back. And he showed his ability in the last few games of his season. So I think it was difficult for him, obviously, overcoming a personal issue. I thought that he was going to be a Pro Bowl player this year. I thought watching him in camp and knowing the kind of trajectory with him and thinking about what he could do, I thought that he really had a chance to be exceptional. And I don't think he was that.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Trading Chris Bryant to me makes no sense at all. You can tell me that the numbers have declined. You can talk about him being injury prone. I could look at the same numbers and say that they've been overstated about how he's not clutch and all this stuff. He is everything that you want a Cub to represent. He is symbolic of the Theo Epstein regime, a guy that you drafted, a guy that you developed, a guy that you celebrated during the World Series parade. This is a guy that has done everything asked of him, and he's done it as a good teammate, as a clutch player. So I'm not surprised that they're talking to the Phillies and maybe the Braves and maybe the Nationals as the rumors come out of San Diego and even the Padres. But I think that if they have these conversations, I hope they're not initiating them, and I hope they don't go follow through with them, because I think trading Chris Bryant would be something that Theo Epstein regrets.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, there's more rumors floating around about the Cubs and Chris Bryant, so I guess they've shifted gears. I guess Wilson Contreras isn't the guy they're talking about trading.
Well, they might
as
be,
much as,
but not. But that's not certainly the focus of the conversation of the rumors. And John Morosi from MLB Network tweets out that the Nats have inquired, according to his sources, they have inquired the Cubs about a possible Chris Bryant trade in the event they fail to re-sign Anthony Rendon. And there is a good possibility that they're going to fail to re-sign Anthony Rendon because they just invested $245 million in Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting idea. Again, that is that they are contacting the Cubs. So it's believed he's available and he could solve their third base problem for a couple of years while they figure out what to do. And again, that we're still waiting to get a feel for whether that arbitration thing's going to come through. And no one expects him to win it. But if he does, that would definitely hinder a deal like that because it's 1 year instead of 2 years. And I don't know, man. The Nationals have a lot of good players. The Nationals, Mike Rizzo knows what the hell he's
got
doing.
Got a lot of good young players?
They play them. So I would imagine that there are guys blocked. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Nationals are also serious about winning another World Series. When you sign, you know, Steven Strasburg back to the Nationals, when you invest almost $600 million in three starting pitchers, you are saying that you are going to contend each and every season. And the interesting thing about the Strasburg signing, as we mentioned earlier in the show, Mully, is that that is a Scott Boras client.
Sure.
Who went to free agency and re-signed with his team. He did not, you know, he tested the open market. To whatever degree that was a serious, you know, flirtation with whether it's the Dodgers or the Angels or whatever, you know, other teams were in the mix with Strasburg, but he re-signed with the Nationals, and that was what we always were told wasn't going to happen. It's, you know, Boras client is going to hit free agency and walk. Well, he's back. So Chris Bryant, another Boras client, if he hits free agency in 2 years, yeah, the Cubs risk not getting anything for him, or they could actually, he could re-sign with the Cubs long term. That's still in play. That's got to be in play. If you trade him now, as we have said, as I have said, I just don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it, David. I'm not sure how to feel about what could potentially happen. It's fairly obvious that they want to get something done. And, you know, it's also fairly obvious that the Nationals have some talented young players. And maybe if they feel like they can jump in, maybe the Cubs can get enough to justify making that kind of a move, if indeed they're going to make it. We have a texter checking in saying this is all about Scott Boras and the fact that he won't do a deal for Chris Bryant, even if the Cubs want to. There's probably a level of truth to that.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess because of the reputation, you can't rule it out. I just keep going back to what Chris Bryant has said, that, you know, Scott Boras works for him. And if Chris Bryant wants to be in Chicago, he's going to make that clear. It's going to be a long winter, I think, because this is going to be something that we're going to talk about a lot, probably exhaust the topic, because this is going to be a while before this develops. The Nationals, who's going to sign Rendon? They don't know. And then who's going to sign Josh Donaldson? Nobody knows. And then this could drag out because the need that exists for teams that don't get those guys, they could be more interested in trading for Bryant. So this is going to go on for a while.
Yeah, I think it will. And I think that the fact that there are as many interested parties as there are speaks volumes about the value of the player. So we'll see. I mean, again, you know, who has the best young prospects in baseball? Who, you know, there's a real good second baseman in the national system that's apparently very close. You know, there's I don't know how that turns your team around. I guess you could use one unless you feel like you got a guy that you brought up at the end of the year that might be the guy.
So we'll talk to John Heyman at 8:20.
Yeah, we'll ask
Bruce
John.
Levine reported yesterday the Phillies have checked in with the Cubs on Chris Bryant. John Paul Morosi reports in a story that he just filed that industry sources said Monday night that there's a better chance of the Cubs trading Chris Bryant than the Indians dealing Francisco Lindor.
Which one would you take?
Well, I mean, Chris Bryant is yours. Chris Bryant is yours right now.
I'm just saying, if you could have either guy, would you take Chris Bryant or Frankie Lindor?
In that hypothetical, I'm not sure. I mean, I think Chris Bryant has a lot to offer. They're both terrific players. I don't think there's a wrong answer there. Is there?
No, I don't think so. But is it better the devil you know? I don't know.
Probably so. I mean,
if you could swap those two players, you could have Frankie Lindor playing shortstop and Tyus to third.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be doing that.
No, I don't think they're going to do that either. 312-644-6767. Let's get to Dominic. He's in Lyle. Morning, Dominic.
Yes, I got a couple comments. First, the Chris Bryant thing. I think you're trying to they want to sign Chris to a long-term contract, and Chris Bryant loves the Cubs, and the Cubs love him, and they're just putting it out there, and then he's reading the papers. Oh, and his wife's probably going crazy. I don't want to go to Philadelphia. I want to be with the Cubs. And Chris will, don't worry. This is just strategy to get me to sign longer term. We'll be with the Cubs. Don't worry about it. We're not going to go to Philadelphia.
I like that you have the internal dialogue in their head.
Did you sit behind him in a booth at a restaurant or something? I mean, do you know this?
And his wife said, I don't want to go to Philadelphia. And another thing is, I don't know why we're hesitating. With Nick Castellanos, he wants to be with the Cubs, and the Cubs want him, and they just got to play this game with the agent to keep the, you know, so they don't have to pay an extra, you know, stupid amount of money like Washington just did with Strasburg.
I don't know how you know these things to be true.
That's pretty
but
cool.
It's
got great insight.
Fascinating.
There.
Yeah. Look, the $245 million is the going rate for ace pitchers of his caliber. So I understand that. What's the going rate for Chris Bryant? That's a good question. I don't know.
Dominic said he's from Lyle, but he must be in San Diego at the winter meetings right now if he's abreast of all of these issues.
You know, some people have a gift. So if you can connect, I mean, that's brilliant. If you have that the X-Men machine that the professor wears where you know what everyone's thinking, that's awesome. I'm glad that he's got it all nailed down. I'm just looking through this list. There's like two of the top 100 here are Washington Nationals, and seven of the top 100 are Atlanta Braves.
The Braves, you would think would be.
I would say that they might be the team to to try to deal with if you're looking for
They're probably
guys.
In a better position to deal prospects, yeah. guys that you want. You could get more in return
right.
if you're committed to trading him. And you want to play it. That's why you have to wait for it to play out. You see, who do they end up with at third base? What is their plan? Because they're, you know, you're talking about teams, the Nationals, the Phillies, the Braves. They're all contenders. They're all teams that are, you know, trying to win next year. That was the assumption with the Cubs. I mean, you thought if the Cubs trade Chris Bryant, are they serious about contending next year? Can you say that on one hand and then act in a way that suggests that that's not the case? I don't know about that.
I mean, would it be an acknowledgement that they have to take a step back to take a step forward? That's the question. But I think they still have a lot of players and a lot of payroll. You know, what I would take from it if they trade Chris Bryant is that they are convinced that they cannot get him under a long-term deal, and they can do it with Baez, right? I'm not suggesting, you know, we talk about the Nationals. Are they choosing between Strasburg and Rendon? Are the Cubs choosing between Baez and Bryant in terms of contract stuff?
First guy to say yes
right.
stays.
Right.
You probably that are closer to the truth there, but I think that if you're a Cubs fan, you look at a team worth $3 billion and you walk around Wrigley Field and you want both. You do want both. Is that realistic?
You want it all, buddy.
You want it all.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You want the future and the present, and I don't know that that's realistic.
Well, let's ask John Heyman what he thinks about the
Yeah, we'll bring John Heyman in next. We'll talk to John about everything that's going on out there. He's got his finger on the pulse. And maybe we'll even ask him a White Sox question. Wouldn't it be nice to find out if the Sox have anything going? Where do they turn now? Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. At John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Always a joy to talk to John Heyman. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, and John, of course, at the winter meetings. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great to catch up with you. We are kind of waiting with bated breath. It seems like the Cubs are talking to everyone about Chris Bryant, but can that get done before we learn what happens with the arbitration?
Yeah, I think it's going to be difficult. They might have to make contingency trades, two different trades, depending on whether he's got 1 year to go before free agency or two. The grievance hearing was held several weeks ago, but I think the OFC said last night that it still would take some more weeks. It might be difficult to do that, but they certainly are talking. That seems to be the name that's really been bandied about the lobby more than any other. And, they'd made him an offer for $200 million a couple of years back, and he didn't respond at that time to it. He seems to be in that Mookie Betts category, though he hasn't spoken about it loud as much, maybe because he isn't 1 year away, as Betts is, and so hasn't been asked as much, but seems to be interested in free agency, and that seems to be the guy that they're talking to. Several teams are looking at a third baseman. There are more teams looking at third baseman than our third baseman available. So Atlanta, Philadelphia, Washington, Texas, all looking at third base.
And because of that, the guys in play, Anthony Rendon and Josh Donaldson, that where they go might affect where Chris Bryant ends up or if he doesn't stay in Chicago. So what's the latest with those two guys, John?
Yeah, Rendon, I will be surprised if he ends up back with Washington. They have spent $245 million, a surprise figure to all of us. For Steven Strasburg, that seems to have been their top choice. It sounds like they're not making a lot of headway from what we can gather on Rendon. So Rendon, I would say that the Dodgers, who are pursuing him, and also Cole, and the Rangers seem to be the most likely for Rendon. Donaldson, I'll be surprised if he doesn't end up back with Atlanta. You never know what might happen. Texas would be a nice fallback for him. I think he'd like to go there as well if he doesn't go to Atlanta. There are several teams out there that are in play, and it does depend on what goes on with the free agents. Now, we've had some free agents fall quickly. Doesn't necessarily mean that the other ones are going to go quick. The Strasburg one seems to set up a number for Cole, and the teams are in hot pursuit, so perhaps that will go quick. But the third base doesn't necessarily have to go quick. Donaldson did sign very fast last year with Atlanta. He only wanted a one-year deal last year, though. This year he's looking for four, so it's hard to predict how long these things are going to take. But there are a lot of teams looking at third base, so that is beneficial for the Cubs.
John, who will be the next player to turn down the White Sox offer?
Well, you know, that's it only takes one. It's like applying for a college. You can get turned down by Harvard and Yale, but you get into Princeton, nobody hears about you getting turned down. So it's not easy to win these games. These prices are rather high here at the start. Certainly Strasburg went well over what we were anticipating. Moustakas did too. I think Rendon went a little bit over, but it seemed a little bit more reasonable to me. So they got a good deal there. I'm not sure how thrilled McCann is at this point that he's now splitting and probably getting less than half the games at catcher. Surely getting less than half. Rendon clearly the starter. So, they've got two very good hitting catchers there, and obviously they got work to do. They need to get pitching. You hear them connected with Keuchel. I hear them connected with Bumgarner. I'll be surprised if he doesn't go to the National League. I know people go for the best deal, but he's a guy who wants to hit, likes the National League game. He's been there for a long time. He's going to have St. Louis, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Arizona involved. So I'll be surprised if they aren't turned down by him. It only matters what the team is. It doesn't matter in the end how many you get turned down by.
Keuchel and Ryu, John, your latest tweet says the Twins are pursuing those two and Bumgarner, but what about the White Sox?
Yes, I've heard them with Keuchel. I've heard Toronto as well as Minnesota, and of course his old Dodgers team. That may be dependent on the Cole situation. I think Cole is likely to go to one of the two LA teams or New York. So, I'm still going to be surprised if the Dodgers pony up for Cole after never spending more than $60 million on an outside free agent to go spend about $300 million or so. That would be a bit of a surprise. So Ryu back to the Dodgers would not shock me. The Twins are in pursuit, but they so far have been turned down by everybody to this point.
You know, it's interesting, John, I think, because we look at contracts like this, and then you got to go back and kind of in retrospect, maybe Zach Wheeler wasn't overpaid if this is the going rate. So is it wiser for other players to wait and see where the market ends up, or do you jump in it the minute you get what you believe you want?
Yeah, sometimes the waiting is not helped. So, you know, I it depends on the player, depends on the offers, I think. I mean, you know, if you don't have the offer that you want, I guess you wait. But, you know, you have to set a somewhat reasonable goal in mind, I think. That's probably the key for the player. But, you know, it appears at this point now that at least the top of the market, most of those guys are going to do very, very well. I'll be surprised if there aren't good deals eventually for all of them. The guys that we've mentioned, plus Castellanos and Azuna. But it sounds to me like the middle market is getting squeezed at this point. The way teams are looking at it is the value is there for the big stars, that they make a major impact, but some of the players are seen as replaceable. We saw that with the non-tenders, and good players like Cesar Hernandez and Michael Franco and Kevin Pillar were non-tendered, and I think that's a sign that a lot of the guys in the middle market, and you've got well over 100 free agents, are not going to get what they wanted. So they are waiting and hoping, but I think that's the way the trend is looking.
Back to Bryant for a second, John. Can the Cubs, if they indeed pull a trade off with Bryant and he's involved and he moves out of Chicago, can they on one hand trade Chris Bryant and on the other try to convince their fan base that they're serious about winning in 2020?
Well, I mean, that's the trick for a lot of teams. You know, it's a very common thing for teams to take a step back and try to, make it better in the future to play for 2021 and 2022 and all that. I mean, Cleveland did it expertly, trading Bauer and still getting some pieces for now and for the future. Bryant is the kind of player, particularly now that we've seen what the market looks like, $60 million for Moustakas. And, you know, I think Rendon is going to get, $250 million. And Donaldson, I think we're hearing now, he might get a four-year deal. So he may be around $100 million. So Bryant's going to look pretty cheap to get a star player on a reasonable deal at probably 2 years to go. We'll see what the grievance says. But, I think they should be able to get a lot for him. And, I'm sure there'll be some outcry from the fans that they're taking a step back for 2020, and that's fair. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to look at it, but that's a common thing for teams to do. I mean, even the Red Sox are looking at trades for Mookie Betts, and the Red Sox have spent more than anybody over the past 4 or 5 years.
If you're the Sox, should you make a jump at a guy like a right fielder? Should you make a jump at someone like Castellanos if indeed you eventually are waiting for the market to go down? Just because if the Cubs end up trading someone, maybe they have the money to bring him back. So if you figure he's the guy, why not make that happen immediately?
With the Cubs?
With the White Sox. I'm saying if the Cubs are going to trade someone and double back and sign him, why not try to get him while he's available?
I mean, there are 28 other teams involved beside the two Chicago teams. So, Castellanos is looking at the total market. So
right.
I don't know that you can make a quick deal. I mean, it seemed to me like Castellanos might take a while.
Okay.
That'd be my guess on him. We'll see. We haven't heard a lot. I've heard San Francisco. We've heard Arizona. I've heard the White Sox. I'm not sure how likely that is. The White Sox emphasis is clearly on pitching at the moment. As far as I can tell, I know there was that one report they were signing Ozuna, and Jerry Reinsdorf had a little bit of laugh at that and called up Rick Hahn and said, I see this report. Am I having a senior moment? I don't remember any conversations with Marcell Ozuna, and he said, no, you're not having a senior moment. We're not signing Marcell Ozuna without you knowing about it. So, I do think pitching is their focus at the moment. But an outfielder could work too. I will be surprised if they sign. I've been surprised before, but I'll be surprised if they sign either Ozuna or Castellanos.
Quickly, John, have there been any teams attached to the Mookie Betts rumors?
No, I am not other than guesses that, the Dodgers would make sense. Some certain teams that have prospects and, you know, are only looking at the top. The Dodgers are an interesting case. They're only looking at the very top of the market. You know, they're talking about a Cole or a Rendon or a Lindor. You know, their roster is so good that almost nobody else will help them. So they are a team that makes sense. But I have not thought that Betts would get traded. You will not get close to his value now that you're waiting for 1 year away. That's the deal with, the thing with Brian, why it's so important that the Cubs win that grievance. 2 years away really doubles the value. And you if you get half the value for Bryant, that's a tough one to trade.
John, we'll let you go. You said that the big name that's in the lobby is Bryant's. Is the Wilson Contreras thing dead? Is there no?
Say that. I wouldn't call it. They gotta look at everything, and they gotta consider that as well. And he's got more years to go, and for sure. And you know, he's a very talented offensive catcher, and I wouldn't say that, but we are hearing much more about Bryant, and third base seems to be a market that's hot. That could be the reason, or it could be just that they've resigned themselves to understanding they're not going to be able to keep Bryant long term, and you know, he's a big star, and they can get more back for him.
Great stuff, John. Always a joy. Thanks a ton, man.
Thanks, John.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
That's John Heyman in San Diego with the winter meetings, getting up early.
He's everywhere. He's getting up early for us. He's got a busy day ahead, and he did a great job yesterday.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We
get
beat.
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Mike. Hey, doing great. How are you guys today?
We are all fired up because, you know, the Bears are back in the playoff picture, even if they're, you know, maybe once removed. Nonetheless, they head up to Green Bay to face a team that Aaron Rodgers didn't get much accomplished in the game against Washington, not after the first quarter anyway. And I read somewhere that 22% of his passes were not on target, unusual for him. We're seeing a different quarterback struggle a little bit with while lacking some weaponry. Is that the case with Aaron Rodgers? Is he playing all right?
Well, he's playing well enough, and they're 10-3, and that's really all that matters at the end of the day from his perspective. They had some wins early in the year where the offense wasn't doing anything, but the defense was playing well enough, as we saw way back in week one. Those wins in September become money in the bank when it's time to figure out who's going to make it to the playoffs and how high on the playoff tree they'll be. And it helps to have an Aaron Jones who seems to be able to step in and get it done when Aaron Rodgers isn't performing at the highest possible level. Aaron Jones had 55% of the total offensive output for the Packers on Sunday. So, you know, they're still very dangerous. And I think this is one of the great games of the weekend because the Bears are so much better than they were earlier in the year. And even if the Bears don't make it to the playoffs, and it really is a steep climb at this point, what the past few weeks have done, I think, is help remove that dark cloud over 2020 where it felt like there's no real options. There's no real hope. We're stuck with Mitch Trubisky and we don't know where it's going to go from here, but it's not going anywhere in a positive direction. It feels different now going into the next season, even if they end up not making the playoffs, and they likely won't make the playoffs.
You feel like you've seen enough to say that they won't go after a veteran quarterback in the offseason then, Mike?
Well, veteran quarterback, that's a broad category. Is it a veteran quarterback who comes in and becomes the starter? Is it a veteran quarterback who comes in and is there to compete head-to-head with Trubisky to be the starter? Or is it a guy who will be a backup who may be better suited than Chase Daniel to step in and play if Trubisky regresses again? But I think they've seen enough now to keep Trubisky as the number one. And maybe you do want to have yourself in a better spot to be prepared in the event that Trubisky struggles next year. But, you know, I think it's encouraging. And whatever they've done to help him get his confidence back, and I think the coaching staff was a big part of this. Matt Nagy was a big part of it. I think his confidence took a hit because of the way that he was being used and some of the interactions between him and Nagy. And I think Nagy's figured out how to deal with him a little bit more effectively. And, you know, and he's got a fully guaranteed contract through 2020. I mean, you've got to give it another year. You gave up too much to get him. You got to give it another year. But yeah, to answer the question in a roundabout way, veteran quarterback, I think, who would be a better option in the event of injury and effectiveness. I think that makes sense for the Bears.
Mike, obviously, big story in the league, the New England Patriots, and not necessarily the aging quarterback breaking down a bit, but maybe them looking for extra help, actually training a camera on the sidelines of the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's so bizarre how it all happened. And they've admitted that there was inappropriate filming in the Bengals sideline, but they are taking the position that it was an activity that was completely disconnected from the football operation. It was a video crew that was there to do a feature on an advanced scout as part of their Do Your Job series that they create and edit and post online. And look, I think that this all comes down to what is on the actual video that was confiscated. I think that people with common sense will know when seeing that whether or not there was an effort there to glean information from the Bengals sideline. And if that's the case, then they're going to be facing a significant punishment. And also, I think if that's the case, it's important to go as far down the rabbit hole as possible to see what connections there may be between this crew that, you know, they're trying to diminish their role by saying some of them are independent contractors. It doesn't matter. They're agents of the Patriots. Whether they're employees or independent contractors, a W-2 or a 1099, doesn't matter. They're there for the Patriots. And if there's any connection between those people and anyone in football operations, you know, if Ernie Adams has some sort of a shadow mechanism going where he gets his information about teams and he doesn't tell Bill Belichick where he's getting it, so Belichick always has that layer of deniability, it would make sense, number one. But number two, it would make sense for the league to rule that out if they do suspect, based upon review of the video, that foul play was happening.
Mike, two things ran through my mind last night watching Monday Night Football. Two questions were, number one, will Eli Manning play in the league next year? Will he be a starter or even on a roster? Number two is, wouldn't Ron Rivera look good on the Giants sideline?
Yeah, I don't think Eli Manning is going to play next year. I don't think he's wired to play for another team. He's commented that on the past, I believe. And he's not going to be handed a starting job, right? The best case scenario is a Mike Glennon situation where he's signed to be the starter in March and he's supplanted either immediately or eventually by a rookie who's drafted in April. So I don't think he's going to be comfortable with that. I don't think anyone's going to pay him what he would want to keep playing, and I think he just walks away. And Rivera makes sense as coach of the Giants because to the extent that Dave Gettleman, the GM, is in trouble, this may be the way he protects himself against the potential hiring of a coach who would want Gettleman to go, because Rivera and Gettleman have worked together in the past, and they've worked well together. And if Gettleman is working behind the scenes to get Rivera an opportunity and it works out, then the two of them are there and they see what they can do. But they have so much work to do with that roster. Offensive and defensive lines need to be rebuilt. When the Giants were good in 07 and 2011, they were good because they had a great offensive line and a great defensive line, and their lines are anything but that now.
Mike, back to the Patriots for a second. Look, I hope they're forced to vacate their title if it turns out they're cheating, but I'm more interested in Tom Brady and where he's at right now. Have they run out of weapons? Is it a question of him not having enough weapons, or has time really done a number on him now?
I think it's a combination. And it's easy to say that it's the weapons when we see the images of him yelling at the receivers during the Texans game, but go back and watch some of the plays from the loss to the Chiefs, especially watch the fourth down play to Julian Edelman in the end zone, fourth and three. Now, Brady had the great run, and he's still one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Look at what he does when he throws the ball. He throws the ball and bails out in one motion to avoid a hit from Frank Clark. And anybody who puts that helmet and pads on and walks across the thick white line out onto the football field is a braver man than I'd ever be. But it sure looks like he's trying to avoid a hit there, instead of what we've seen time and again from other quarterbacks, where you stand in there, you deliver the ball, and you take the hit. Because you know that standing in there and delivering the ball, you're more likely to deliver an accurate pass, even if you get hit after you get rid of the ball. He was falling away. We saw him do that last year against the Steelers in a game too, where falling away from the hit as you throw the ball, that's not going to be an effective throw. And that may have been the difference between victory and defeat for the Patriots on Sunday. And it's a real concern. Look, as these guys get older, as the quarterbacks get older, the guys who are chasing them around stay the same age. It's just different names and faces. And they're big, and they're large, and they're fast, and they're strong. And it hurts to get hit. And I was told a couple of years ago with Brady, don't watch his arm, watch his legs. Once he loses the ability to dance and slide and glide around in the pocket and starts getting hit, he's going to get hurt and he's going to be done. And now we see him active after six hits, actually 12 hits against the Texans and six more against the Chiefs. Maybe he is trying to avoid contact. And if you're consciously trying to do that or unconsciously trying to do it, it's going to affect your overall accuracy as a quarterback.
Mike, what's been the fallout in Cleveland after Dr. Baker Mayfield called out the Browns medical team for the way it handled Odell Beckham Jr.'s injury?
Well, you know, Mayfield tried to walk it back online, but you don't do that. You don't call out other members of the football operation publicly like that. No matter what you believe, you deal with those things internally. Freddie Kitchens, the coach of the team, said on Monday that Mayfield understands he shouldn't be talking about other players' injuries, and that's a nice firewall to have in place to never get close to that third rail. But the bottom line is, if you are going to talk about a guy's injury, if you are going to try to give him an excuse and prop him up, which was, I think, what Mayfield was trying to do, he went too far in calling out the training staff for not getting that groin injury taken care of with a presumably sports hernia repair. But look, Baker Mayfield's an emotional guy. And I thought that he gets it. And maybe he does most of the time. But when you're a high-profile quarterback, all it takes is one lapse, and it's a big deal. And people talk about it, and people view you differently. And I think after Sunday, I know I think of him differently because I wouldn't have expected him to do something like that. And I can imagine other quarterbacks saying something like that, what the reaction would have been. And he kind of gets a pass, but maybe he shouldn't get a pass. I mean, he's a colorful guy. He's a character. He was great last year. He's okay this year. But that doesn't give him, you know, lifetime dispensation to do things that we would look at other quarterbacks if they did it and say, well, that guy's just a real butthole.
How do you explain Drew Lock being as good as he is? I know he had the thumb injury in the preseason, but they've been great with him, and he looks like the part. He looks pretty good for a second-round pick.
Well, he was a guy who was viewed as a potential first-round pick, and sometimes it's better to go in round two. The expectations are lower. You can develop a little more quietly without all that pressure. Now, again, he was injured, so it's not like he would have been playing, but he's got confidence. He's got that swagger. Not in a jerk kind of a way, but, you know, he loves what he's doing. He's out there doing the Buzz Lightyear celebration. Who in the heck would have ever thought an NFL player would be doing a Buzz Lightyear celebration? And he throws the ball well, and he makes good decisions. And, you know, I talked to him after the win over the Texans, and, you know, I said, you know, we talk about the game slowing down. Has it already slowed down for you? And he said, well, it's inherently slow when you have great people around you who are doing what they're supposed to do, and you can just go make your decisions and do your thing. So, you know, he'll only get better as the game slows down even more, but this Broncos team is not nearly as bad as their record suggests. They've had a lot of close losses. They had that game against the Bears that, but for some officiating issues, the Broncos would have won. And, again, teams are looking for hope, just like the Bears. What can we feel good about going into 2020? The Bears can feel better than they would have felt a few weeks ago, and the Broncos can feel good about having Drew Lock.
Mike, predict the outcry next month after a 7-9 Eagles or Cowboys team hosts an 11-win wildcard winner.
Well, the outcry is only going to be there if they win. And then what will happen is there'll be a segment of the fans that says, well, the fact that the Eagles or the Cowboys won the game proves they were the better team. No. You get that game at home, you're more likely to win it. But the NFL is not going to change this playoff seeding. Yeah, look, the owners like having an automatic playoff home game for one out of every four teams. And they'd rather do that than start down this path that potentially could wipe away the guaranteed playoff berth for a team that's in a division. And, I mean, you could make the argument this year that no one in the NFC East has any business even being in the postseason field, and there could be a 7-9 team that is in and an 11-5 team that is out. But, you know, they place the importance on winning the division. They're not going to change the playoff seeding. I think it would take some ridiculously extreme example, like somebody winning a division with a 4-12 record, which will never happen. Theoretically, it could, but it'll never happen. It would take something like that to force the NFL to change. And for now, they love the idea that in any given year, and in every given year, you've got a 1-4 chance of not just getting to the playoffs, but hosting a playoff game.
All righty, Mike. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it, buddy. Always a joy to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
That is Mike Florio, NBC Sports Pro Football Talk. Pretty extraordinary.
Theoretically, a 4-12 team could win the division.
You know, theoretically, I suppose. But yeah. But here's the thing. when you look at, you know, you look at how many times it's happened, it really is an outlier. It's not often that a team that does that. I don't know that I want them to change the playoffs. We hear that in the NBA all the time, in every sport. I think it's happened 3 times in 30 years. It just seems like we're getting worked up about something that's not as – it's not normal. It's not kind of, normalized.
Kind of like pass interference in the playoffs?
That happens 3 times every 30 years, too. It's Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.